If you'd like to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, we're going to look this morning at a Christmas message. With apologies to anyone who's heard this before. I don't think so, but I never know at Christmas time. So, Matthew chapter 1, it's the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And let me, before I start, just ask God's blessing on us as we look at it together. Lord, as we open your word together, we thank you for the baptism, which is a visible proclamation of your word. And now as we hear it, as we hear your word, we pray that you would give us understanding of the things of God, which we have seen visibly proclaimed, but now hear in your word of truth. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it seems that at the moment in Emmanuel Church that all this year and for a while to come yet, we seem to be doing nothing but thinking of names for children. There's been a very happy occurrence of couples thinking through names for their children who have been born or who are about to be born. And when it comes to picking names for children, there's no real rules and anything's possible. Sometimes when we pick a name, it's because of somebody we like, and we think, for example, and I don't mind embarrassing her on her first day back, when we had a youth fellowship many years ago, there was a lovely Christian girl called Anna, and Hazel and I thought, if ever we have a little daughter, we'd love to call her Anna. I won't ask her to stand up, but it happened. And then there are other names that you may think, oh, I like that name. But then you think of someone who's not so nice, who has that name, and you sort of think, no, I couldn't call them by that name because it will always remind me of so-and-so or so-and-so. Or maybe you like a Bible name, and I know some of our children are called by Bible names. They're good names. You might be an Irish name, and you'll call your child by a nice Irish name. Just make sure you're able to spell it. That's the only thing. Or if you need help, one couple in this church, I won't name them, but very cleverly, whenever their first child was born, asked some of the children to come up with a list of names and said that to the children, if we choose the name that you put in the list, we'll give you a fiver or a tenner, or I don't know if it was that, or a sweet or something like that. And I don't know what happened. You can ask him when you find out who it is. But some people need help. I learned that this week, or a few weeks ago, for example, that a story I just didn't know about our family, about my grandmother, who's still alive, is in her 90s. She has six daughters. She had just six children and six daughters. And when it came to the fourth daughter, apparently this old neighbour who had lived years ago and I met, who's now in her 80s, told me that my grandfather and my grandmother could not agree on the name to be given to the fourth daughter. And so before the birth of the child, they bandied names about and they couldn't agree. And when the baby was born, they still couldn't agree. And they decided to call the baby, Baby. Or, as they say in Northern Ireland, or from a Scots background, babby, or babby, it's another word for baby, babby. And so for 6 months, my aunt was called Babby. They couldn't agree on a name, so they didn't call her either one of the names, but just called her Babby until they finally agreed on a name, and now she's my Aunt Maureen. So, thankfully, that happened. But imagine if, in the process of thinking about a forthcoming birth, imagine that an angel of the Lord appeared to you and told you what you were to name your child. And that's precisely what happened to Mary and to Joseph. If you look with me, keep your hand in Matthew's Gospel, but turn with me to Luke's Gospel, to page 723. And 723, and on that page, we have an account of the birth of Jesus. We have an angel appearing to Mary. This is Mary's account. Luke is Mary's account of the birth, and Matthew's Gospel is Joseph's account of the birth of Jesus. But look at Mary's account in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, whenever an angel of the Lord appears in the history of the Bible, something amazing is about to happen. And here a virgin is to give birth, the sign that God gave in the Old Testament that he was going to do a work of rescue, a new thing. And the angel tells Mary his name is to be called Jesus. And let's look back then at Matthew's Gospel and just read the birth of Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel, again told from the angle focusing on Joseph rather than on Mary. And verse 18 says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." So, very startling, this baby's name wasn't decided by children drawing up lists, wasn't decided to finish an argument, but was given by God himself through the angel of the Lord. And if we understand these two names that were given to this child at Christmas time by the angel of the Lord under God's command, then we understand what Christmas really is all about. Did you notice in verse 21 where it says you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins? And again the name in verse 23, Emmanuel, which means God with us. If we can grasp these two things, then we'll really grasp what Christmas is all about. Christmas is in full swing right now. I heard on the news last night that the average Irish household, maybe not be your household or my household, but the average Irish household will probably spend about €900 this Christmas. It really is a commercial time. And of course, I'm not against spending money and bringing presents to people. Of course, that's part of the wonder of Christmas, as is new movie releases. And I'm looking forward to going and seeing The Hobbit on my birthday with hopefully everyone back from university. And it's a wonderful time of presents, of being with family, of movie releases. And there's a special time about Christmas. But above all else, it's about this child. It's about, especially about what he came to do, signified by his names. Jesus, for he will forgive his people their sins. He will save his people from their sins. And Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So the first thing we want to say then about Christmas, well, it's about Christmas is about forgiveness. That's the first thing that the name of Jesus tells us, that Christmas is about forgiveness. And when I talk about forgiveness, I don't mean you forgiving me and me forgiving you. That's very, very important. Today, for example, in South Africa, the great leader Nelson Mandela is being buried after a week long of mourning, and we've probably all seen it on television. And recently, there's been some films on television about Mandela's life, and I watched two of them. The first one was about his time in imprisonment and what he went through in imprisonment and how he came to a good understanding with one of the prison guards and how that played out. And the second film was about the South African rugby team. It was called Invictus. How he encouraged them and how he developed a special relationship with the captain of the South African rugby team, and how that was a whole picture of turning South Africa around, or the Republic of South Africa around. And one of the things that stood out about his motivation was he forgave people. He encouraged his own supporters to forgive and to move on and to build a new South Africa. And that's very important, and that's a wonderful legacy that he certainly will have left behind. And we hope and pray South Africa will continue in that. And that's a very powerful form of forgiveness. But even more powerful is the forgiveness that God brings to us. What the name of Jesus is speaking about is the forgiveness that God brings to us, which changes our lives completely. I was reading a story there recently of a man called Carlos from Bolivia. I know we have South American folks here from all parts of South America. I don't think I've met anyone from Bolivia yet. I'm looking forward to that. But Carlos is from La Paz in Bolivia. And I read this in a Christian magazine this week. He grew up in a very privileged background, middle class, third level educated, got a job in the government, became private secretary to one of the ministers, and then was accused in the wrong of embezzling money. And he was put into the prison in La Paz, a prison that was notorious, or is notorious, called San Pedro. And that prison was designed for 800 people, but it actually now has got 2,500 people living in it. That prison is not run by the prison guards, but it's run by the prisoners, by and large. And they determine the rules. And this guy, Carlos, from his privileged background, accused wrongly, was put into that prison, and he was put in the lowest part of the prison, and his life completely and utterly changed for the worse. But in that prison in San Pedro in La Paz, there's a church. And a pastor came to him, and the pastor shared the gospel with this guy, Carlos. And within a number of months, Carlos came to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then began to play his part in the prison community, in the prison church. And when a few years later, he was offered his freedom to go, he didn't want to go. He wanted to stay in the prison to minister to the prisoners and their families. But the pastor encouraged him to go and encouraged him to take a course in, it was actually a Langham partnership, which is where the story is told in their literature. And he took a course in the Bible study in that Langham partnership, was trained in how to handle the Bible, and came back to the prison. And is there in the prison today, teaching the Word of God to the living with the prisoners, teaching them the Bible and all about Jesus. Now that is powerful forgiveness. That's what the name of Jesus does. It saves us to the uttermost and turns our lives upside down and gives us a completely new perspective. And we need the forgiveness of which the name Jesus tells us. We need that forgiveness. Because we don't live in Christmas time. Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has ascended, and he now reigns on high. And God calls us through the gospel to submit our lives to the rule of this heavenly King. God calls us to submit to his rule and to come under his rule and blessing. But people don't want to do it. We do not want God telling us what to do. We want to rule our own lives. And we resist submitting our lives to Christ the King. But God's word yet comes to us and tells us that we have got to repent, turn away from the way that we're living and turn towards God and trust in what Jesus has done on the cross, that brings us forgiveness and new life and turns our lives upside down. That is the forgiveness of which Christmas is talking about. It's about that forgiveness. And I want to ask you, do you know that forgiveness? Are you resisting God? Because if we don't turn to God, well then God will give us what we wanted. We don't want Him now. We won't have Him in eternity. We don't want His forgiveness of sins now. So we will pay for them in eternity. That's what the Bible is very clear about. But what if we do turn to this Lord Jesus? What if we do turn to this Heavenly King, submit our lives to Him and trust in His death and His promises of forgiveness of sins? Then we receive all these things. We receive every blessing that is in the heavenly places. We receive the reality of God dwelling in our lives now. We receive the hope of a future and the reality of the world to come. There is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring, as we trust in Him, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ stands for all who He is and what He has done. And there is power in that name to forgive us. You know, some names do open doors. I can remember a number of years ago going with the boys to Old Trafford to watch Manchester United play. I'm not sure I'd watch them now, but we did then. Very keen to go and watch them then. And at that time, my father was the scout for Manchester United in the north of Ireland. And so, only on one occasion in all the 25 years that he was a scout, I asked him for tickets. We had just moved to this country and I wanted to treat them, and so we got tickets and he gave us tickets. And when we went to the door at Old Trafford, I remember going up to the door to get the tickets and knocked the door. The guy came out and said, yes, what do you want? And I said, I'm Eddie Coulter's son. I want, you left tickets here. You're Eddie Coulter's son. Come on in. And brought us in. Myself and my sons and a friend who was with us, and we were given a tour around Old Trafford, and we were brought into the scouts room and given tea and coffee and treat. And I realised then that obviously my father was well known in Old Trafford, and we got prime seats. We could look down and see David Beckham and Ronaldo and Roy Keane and all the players just going through the tunnel just at that particular point. My dad's name obviously opened the door then. And some names do open doors and some obviously don't. But Christ's name opens the door, is the only name in heaven and under the earth, and in the earth, under heaven and in the earth, that can open the door to forgiveness of sins. It's the only name. You can't plead your own name. You can't plead the name of your father. You can't plead the name of a minister. You can't plead the name of a priest. You can't plead the name of somebody good to open the door to forgiveness. You can only plead the name of Jesus, because His name means He will save His people from their sins. And so I ask you again, do you know this forgiveness? Do you know this Jesus and the blessings that He desires to pour upon you? Do you know this for yourself? And maybe Christmas has passed you by and its true meaning has never really grasped you. And maybe today would be a good time for you to say yes to the forgiveness that God wants to give. Maybe this day would be a good day for you to say yes to the offer of forgiveness and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, Christmas is, when we look at the name Jesus, it's about forgiveness. That's what Christmas is about. Forgiveness from God and new life. And secondly, Christmas is about friendship with God. Look again at verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is about friendship with God. If you keep that page open, you'll see that in the opening chapter of Matthew's Gospel, there's a long, long list of names from verse 1 down to verse 16. And we don't often read it. We should read it, because what it's saying to us is those genealogies, that's what they're called. They're saying, here is God keeping his promise down the ages to every generation. Here is God keeping the promise of bringing the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman who would reverse the curse, the seed of Abraham who would bless the nations, the son of David who would rule in a perfect kingdom. Here is God keeping these promises down through the ages. And through the ages, people may have forgotten the promises of God, but God has not forgotten his promises. And we're told in verse 1 of chapter 1 that he is the son of David and he is the son of Abraham. And when you look and go to Luke's gospel again in that passage that I read on page 723, you'll also see that in the announcement to Mary, he's not merely the son of David, the son of Abraham, but he's also the son of God. We see that verse 31 and 35. In verse 31, we're told that you will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Then verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And later on in Luke's Gospel, we have the genealogy or the list, the family tree, probably of Mary's side, in chapter 3. And it ends in chapter 3 in verse 38 with tracing back from Joseph back to Adam itself, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So really what I'm saying is, Jesus in the Bible, Emmanuel, is the son of Adam, the one promised who would come and reverse the fall. He's the son of Abraham, the one promised who would bring in the seed that was promised, who would bless the nations. He's the son of David, the one promised to David who would come and establish a kingdom forever. But above all, he is the Son of God come to this earth, dwelling with us. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning with us, El meaning God. He is God with us. And we can know him with us as we trust in God for that forgiveness of which I've just spoken about. As we trust in God for that, we can know God with us. We'll think about this in a moment. But God came to this world. Way back in 1995, sure, before some of you were born, there was a song that made number one in the chart, hit the pop hits in UK and Ireland. And it was a song by a singer called Joan Osborne. Very catchy song, but the lyrics were all messed up. But it went like this, and I want to quote it. She says, What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on a bus trying to make his way home, back up to heaven all alone, nobody calling on the phone. If God had a face, what would he look like? And I would say to Joan Osborne, if you had gone back 2,000 years to that birth in Bethlehem and to that time of Jesus, you would have had the answer to your questions. You would have seen God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have met with God as he walked on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and as he walked in the land of Israel. You would have seen what God was like as he forgave the sins of those who were lost in sin, as he healed those who had no hope in the world, and as he said in his parables that he came to be the friend of sinners, the friend of outcasts. Joan, you would have seen that if you'd have gone back then. But you can experience that now, because this same Jesus is alive and reigning forevermore, and we can experience God with us today as we put our trust in him. Jesus says about his disciples, I call you my friends. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of Christmas, I have never thought of Christmas as a time when I think about the friendship of God. But when I look at this name of Jesus, this name given to the baby born in Bethlehem, Emmanuel, which means God with us, then Christmas time, this time of the year, the incarnation when God came into the world, forces me to see that this God came to be my friend. And he came to be my friend by way of the cross, by bearing my sins, and through calling me through the gospel and by his Holy Spirit into his family. And I am amazed that God should do this, that I might become, you might become his friend. Christmas is about friendship. And this is for me the best part of Christmas. I love all the other stuff that goes with Christmas. I love the Christmas trees. Can't say I love the shopping. Can't say I do the shopping. Only what I have to. I love the Christmas parties. I love the Christmas move. I love all that. But above all, I love the Lord Jesus who came to be my Savior and my friend. That's what Christmas is about. And I want to say to you that you need to know this gift of forgiveness and friendship. I mean, at Christmas time, people are going to come to you and they're going to give you a gift. They're going to say, this is for you. I wish you a happy Christmas. Now, you're not going to get out your wallet and pay them for it. You're not going to do that. You're going to hold out your empty hands and say thank you very much. And that's what God's gift is to us this Christmas time. This Lord Jesus offers us forgiveness and mercy. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's a gift. And all you can do is stretch out your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness and thank you for your friendship. Maybe you're saying, I don't really know God as a friend. I don't know this forgiveness. I don't know this friendship. Today could be a good day to start. Today might be a very good day to start to say to God, thank you for sending your son Jesus into the world to be my Savior. Thank you that he went to the cross and there he died for me. Thank you that he is my friend, for he forgives me my sins and comes into my life. Come into my life, Lord. Help me to walk with you. Today would be a very good day for you to say that when we think about the meaning of Christmas. And may the Lord bless you this Christmas with his forgiveness and his friendship. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of Christmas. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and that his name signifies to us all who he is and all that he does for us. He is Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins. He is Emmanuel, the one who is God with us. Grant, O Lord, that in our hearts we would know the reality of that for ourselves, and that we would rejoice in the real meaning of Christmas in this year, 2013, in Jesus' name. Amen.